now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is a great Thursday. We'll have Steve Wyche from the NFL Network with us. He's been at the Cardinals last couple days on all things around Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen. The draft is now 2 weeks away from today. We'll also have Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic Bill Goody-Koontz with us. Bill wants to talk about how miserable One Shining Moment is at the end of the NCAAs. Also, his interview with Rick Riley is in town this weekend promoting his new book about Donald Trump. And as always, other things with Goody at the Movies. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And you do it with life insurance. Guys, when was the last time that you took a personal look at your own situation? I mean, you sat down there in the privacy of your own home and said, where am I at with my life insurance? Things have changed. I've added family. I've had some life things that have happened, and I don't have everything caught up. My advice to you is simply log on, get your free quote. Do so at Sagicor Now. And get your life insurance, check in on that front, and make sure you got yourself protected with Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. All right. Steve Wyche here in a few minutes. So the Diamondbacks last night, they fell down. The Suns end up getting their general manager position filled permanently with James Jones and their stuff around the draft. And the Masters starts today. So have you guys ever been in this spot where at about 1 a.m., for whatever reason, your smoke alarm starts chirping? You ever been in that spot and you have a smoke alarm that is in a high ceiling and it's 1 a.m. and the dog is getting a little scared and you're like, what is going on? You're a little disoriented. That would be me. And then have you ever been in that spot when the smoke alarm does that and it chirps and you don't have a 9-volt, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning? That would be me. So I learned something early this morning, and that is when you go to a convenience store on the corner that's 24/7, they don't always sell 9 volts. So you end up driving around, Queen Creek, South Gilbert, trying to find anything. Eric, have you ever been in this spot where the smoke alarm just starts chirping in the middle of the night for no reason?
Sure. Why don't you just take the battery out and replace it in the morning?
So I took the battery out and it still kept chirping.
That should not happen.
It shouldn't happen. It didn't. My wife actually said, well, you just took the battery out and it's still chirping.
I have had that happen in a couple houses ago.
Yeah.
The geniuses that built the house with the 30-foot high vaulted ceilings decided to put a smoke detector way up there.
Yes.
Yeah, so I had to Spider-Man my way up there on like four ladders to get it.
Spider-Man my way up there.
Yeah. But
So I did the exact same. I get up, I take out the battery, it should stop chirping.
Seems simple enough.
No. No. So if I'm a tad crabby today, just a tad, it's just I've had some time away from my shut-eye, and that happens on occasion.
Sounds like a you problem, not really an us problem.
Well, you just got to keep me focused.
But
today,
then again, if you're in a bad mood, then it does become an us problem.
It does become an us problem, but that doesn't happen very often. Are you ready for the draft to come here? Have you had enough of Kyler Murray?
I was ready 3 weeks ago.
I'm starting to get those requests of, can you come on this show and that show? I did San Diego this morning at 6:30. And they want to talk about Manny Machado dropping the bat last week in the Diamondbacks series.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, Kyler, and they wanted to get to Kyler Murray. I said, well, Kyler Murray's a story over here. And the whole segment was Kyler Murray. We didn't even get to Manny Machado.
They don't have a football team.
No.
And now that the Fleet are gone from the AAF, they really don't have a football team. So they got to talk Padres.
Do you think that Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray are going to be here 2 weeks from now?
My gut tells me no.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the right move.
But who knows? I mean, like you and I have talked about, this could be the biggest heist. The Cardinals could just be driving up the asking price, and maybe they're going to take Nick Bosa and try to get as much as they can for that number one pick.
If they take Nick Bosa,
or if they trade down but not too far down, and can still get a big time player in the top five.
Don't you think? It's like they're going to work out N'Keal Harry reportedly. They're going to do a private workout with N'Keal. Doesn't it feel as though that the organization is trying to get this local spin in place as part of their overall plan.
Could be.
Local guys. Now, I'm not saying it's the right move or wrong move.
Well, they took a local wide receiver last year around this time, so.
And?
He turned out to be okay so far.
So far. And they took an aging defensive player.
Yep.
Who is well known as a Sun Devil.
Yep.
They're going to work out N'Keal Harry. Now, he's a first-round pick.
Maybe. I think he is, but depends on who you talk to.
And so I'm looking at everything from the Cardinals from a marketing end. There were empty seats there last year. Here's the thing on the NFL.
Plenty.
They always announce it's a sellout and how amazing it is and consecutives. And we sit up there and look around like, no, this is not a sellout. So spin it any way you want. It feels like the organization is trying as part of their model to do things that have a local spin to them. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that there's, what, 3-4 players with Arizona ties that are on their roster or who they've brought in.
Well, the Cardinals are really eating up this number one pick thing. I mean, I was out at the Cardinals on Tuesday. And
how was that?
It was fine. But, I mean, they had Pedro Gomez outside doing live hits for ESPN. Steve Weiss from the NFL Network was outside. Anytime you turn, you're going down Warner, and you make that little turn towards the Cardinals, and you see the TV trucks with
masks up. Yeah.
It's like, okay, something big is going on here, or at least the potential of something big is happening.
I've noticed in my circles, I was at Cole's Wrestling Awards dinner last night. In my circles, people are now asking, what do you think is going to happen? Wherever I go. And it's not like a month ago it was Robert Sarver is a joke. And then, yeah, we got it. The Suns aren't going anywhere fast. Or can the Coyotes make it through? Will Bobby Hurley leave ASU? Now it just feels like everything is around what are they going to do at number one? And this is a bigger number one than what the Suns were doing with DeAndre Ayton last year. And we may have the Suns get a number one overall pick again in this year's draft. You know, the Suns are in a space where as much as I sit here and just feel like Robert gets off scot-free, that people in the business don't want to take him to task because they're afraid they're going to get shut out and they're afraid their page views are going to go down and their clicks are going to go down because all we've done for the last 10 years is point out how awful this situation is. And I feel like they just sit up there and laugh and say, well, yeah, people can criticize us all we want. Fans are still going to show up and watch this miserable product. Like, can I find anything at all positive from the Suns in the season that just finished up? As some are saying, well, they made progress in this front. No, they didn't. They didn't. They keep going backwards in terms of numbers of victories. They do. And like this number one for the Cardinals versus the number one for the Suns, if Zion Williamson comes here, if they get the number one pick overall for the Suns, I'm tired of talking about teams with number one picks. Like, I'm happy the Coyotes didn't have one, you know? But if, in fact, we go through the whole thing with the Suns here, and I believe we're going to in the next 2 months, somewhere 1, 2, 3, or 4, they could go as low as 7. That'd be very Suns-esque if they just fell completely apart after another awful season and they don't get Zion. Zion Williamson and Kyler Murray dropping in our market in the same year would be pretty damn remarkable. It would be pretty amazing to the amount of interest that would be generated. I think Kyler Murray coming in on his own, yeah, there's going to be excitement because I think he's going to have to show his legs because I don't believe that even in free agency, the Cardinals have addressed their offensive line needs. You go to free agency and you go sign guys to make up for mistakes that you made and misses that you made in the draft. That's what free agency is all about. Occasionally, it's we can't believe this guy is there. More often than not is, man, this team signed 5 free agents are committed to winning. No, they screwed up in the draft. That's what happened. Or they missed in free agency before. And so with the Cardinals end, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Do I think they could go a different direction? I think they should go a different direction. That's just me. In the Suns' case, as the Suns sit here and name James Jones their permanent GM today, James Jones has actually made a few smart moves, in my humble opinion. The problem is Robert is still there. Until Robert disappears and we don't see Robert, they can bring Jeff Bauer, they can bring in whoever they want. the track record doesn't lie. The wins have only gone further the wrong direction. If they fire Igor, it's another coach. And this guy was universally praised around the NBA for being hired. And so I'm sitting here like another year where we just say, wow, look at all the points Devin Booker scored in a game. Who cares? They had 19 wins. It feels like in this town that winning just isn't that big of a deal, that people want to be just entertained by the product on the floor and the end result's no big deal. We want to push out there. I see some of the stuff on social media from employees inside the Suns, and it's like somebody inside the Suns in upper management, sit your people down and tell them, quit trying to make this be all that exciting. We have 19 wins. This is embarrassing. I know you're not going to write this is embarrassing. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is don't be delusional. Don't try to tell people this is great and another year goes by and another season of misery and taking fans' money and you get 19 wins. This is when the sledgehammer should be brought out by everybody in positions of microphones and television cameras. Instead, I think there's a lot of, wow, they made some progress. No, they didn't. They didn't. There were some players that came in that were good pickups. I don't think James Jones is incompetent. I don't think James Jones, at least from my view, has come into this and has been tossed to the wolves. I don't think James Jones is in a space yet where he can prove what he has in free agency. If we're sitting here, guys, in mid-July, and the Suns aren't able to bring anything in the way of free agency, and all it is another high draft pick, then once again, we've not moved this thing forward. What would progress be off a 19-win season? Would it be 10 more victories next year? Great, you're at 29 and you still miss the playoffs. Would it be 20 wins next season? Great, you're at 39 wins, you're still not even a 500 team, and you're probably not in the playoffs. So really, if you're being honest with yourself rather than fandom, and fandom is blind. Fandom, some of you guys are Suns fans, you're like, oh, just get off it, or I'm done with you, you're just so negative. No, I'm realist here. The Suns used to matter and be relevant. The Coyotes get better TV ratings than the Suns. So when I see what's going on today with the Suns and say, let's universally hail this, to me, hiring a new GM and giving James the title, hiring a new front office executive, pretty much greases the skids that we're going to make another change at coach. How many changes do you have to go through? And eventually, Devin Booker is going to say, I don't want to be here. Which is fine. Players come, players go. Look at how Eric Bledsoe morphed from being with the Suns to where he is now in Milwaukee, the best team in the league. If you can win in Milwaukee, you can win anywhere. Up next, we'll switch gears. Steve Wyche will be with us from the NFL Network. And he's been out at the Cardinals this week. We'll talk with him about Kyler Murray and what's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Steve Wyche joins us now from the NFL Network, reporter, host. He's been at the Cardinals following everything with Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen as we count down towards the draft. You can follow Steve on Twitter at WYCHE89. The NFL Network will provide live draft coverage from Nashville April 25th through the 27th. Steve, thanks for being with us. I guess right off the top, your gut feel on number one overall, is it a done deal, Kyler Murray coming to Arizona?
I think so. I mean, it's just, you know, we haven't heard anything disputing the fact that it won't be. We haven't heard them championing Josh Rosen or saying, hey, you know, we're not going to trade him. Just all indications point that way. And it's interesting when I talk to all of these opposing coaches and personnel men, and you try to come up with scenarios as to where they might take Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams, and it all comes back to, and why would they go out and hire Cliff Kingsbury, not just an offensive-minded coach, but an outlier? You know, a guy who has kind of this dynamic offense, but who was a losing coach in college, doesn't have any NFL coaching experience. If you're going to hire the outlier, you've got to give him the support he needs. And right now we've seen how much of a proponent he's been for Kyler Murray. So, yeah, it does seem like it would be number one. And You can imagine if they go in a different direction. It would almost seem like you would just like pop the air out of the balloon of the fan base, wouldn't it?
Well, I think, Steve, the idea of them going a different direction at this point, this would be one of the all-time great pullover moves by any organization, that if they went a different direction, because it makes so much sense on so many levels. However, if the asking price from other teams for Josh Rosen is not to the Cardinals' liking, I could see a scenario where they're both here in August. Could you?
No, absolutely not. And that's another one. I mean, I know it's possible. First off, they're not going to get a first-round draft. If they're able to get a first-round draft pick from someone, and Steve Keim is just an absolute monster, and he knows stuff we don't, because in speaking with other teams, if they get a back-end second, that'll be considered a prize trophy. But, you know, and also speaking with other people, just that dynamic of having Rosen and Kyler Murray in your meeting rooms and stuff. Now, Rosen would be a pro if that were the case, but it's just such an awkward dynamic to have two very, very young players like that. It's not even comparable to the Drew Brees, Philip Rivers situation, because Brees had a few more years in. It would be a scenario where, you know, somebody, once you get closer, or maybe even sooner, someone is probably going to give them a back-end second or a third for Rosen. But that would be very, very awkward to take it that deep with two young quarterbacks, whether you're calling it a competition or what. That would be a very unique dynamic, although we're in the unique dynamic territory already.
Sure. No, there's no question. Steve Wyche with us with the NFL Network, because you can go back to RG3 and Kirk Cousins, I think, is probably the closest comp to having two young quarterbacks. The idea that I've heard floated by agents is, well, you hold on to Rosen, and when the quarterback injuries start to happen, which they will, you will be able to get a better asking price. That all sounds well and good. I guess when you consider the Cardinals had the 15th pick, they traded up to 10, and then a year later they trade the 10th overall pick for a second or third round pick on the back end of the second, you better hope you hit on that second round pick, or that will go down as one of the worst moves the organization has made. It's like almost like Matt Leinart not working out here.
Oh, my. Listen, I grew up in St. Louis when the organization was there. This would not even probably register in the top 10 of the worst moves of the Cardinals football organization. This is all for the long play. I mean, all for the excitement of potential Kyler Murray, what you could do with compensation for Josh Rosen. This is absolutely for the long haul. If they're thinking this is going to be an immediate fix, that would be confusing, but that's where the Cardinals are in such an interesting, time stamp right now, because the roster is built to compete now in terms of Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson and David Johnson and Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs, but the quarterback situation is more of a long play. So they're in this weird kind of universe right now as to what are they going to be in the short term and what are they going to be in the long haul. And that's why they've got to manage expectations while also trying to stay competitive in a division where the Niners are going to start winning ball games. You know, Seattle is not going anywhere as long as they've got Russell Wilson. And we know how the Rams roster is built to sustain success with their combination of majority of a young nucleus and a dynamic head coach.
Before I get you out of here, your view of Cliff Kingsbury in the short time that he's been here and you being around the organization, what's your view of Kingsbury?
Well, it's hard to judge. I mean, he's a very nice guy. He's apparently very capable in the eyes of the Cardinals, but I've only had conversations with him. I haven't seen him coach NFL personnel.
Right.
You know, his staff is to be hugely important. He's putting a lot, speaking with Cliff, he's putting a lot on Steve Keim, a lot of trust in Steve Keim, simply because Keim knows the NFL. You know, I did a sit-down interview with Cliff at the league meetings a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how free agency has been like the biggest learning curve for him, just because he didn't know opposing NFL personnel. He didn't know his personnel. He hadn't coached them. So just gaining that familiarity, that's a huge climb for a college coach. Now, it's happened before, but the majority of college coaches who come into the NFL have had some sort of NFL experience. And, you know, that's what the one thing Cliff doesn't have other than being a player in the NFL. So hopefully he can translate some of that. But, you know, it's a wait-and-see period, and I think a lot of people are waiting to see what's going to happen because he is such an outlier. Again, losing record, you know, at Texas Tech, but he's produced some dynamic offenses. He's coached some fantastic quarterbacks. So you just got to see how all of that meshes, and it's going to be important over these early weeks right now for him to get the buy-in of the veterans to make sure he's got a successful start and that it can build onto something.
Great stuff there, Steve. Appreciate the time and the visit. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
At Steve Wyche, W-Y-C-H-E 89, the NFL Network will provide live draft coverage from Nashville April 25th through the 27th. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So a couple things here I want to get to before we get to Goody at the Movies. And we may get to Bill a little bit early. I may have to tap dance, but I think I've got enough here that I want to just get through. And that is, it's the Masters. So today, for me, I'm going to check out. When I'm done with this show, yeah, I got a couple meetings, but I am going to find myself laying around like a toad watching golf. That's what I'm going to do. And I think there's a lot of guys like me that are going to watch and take it all in. This company, we are actually in a space. Eric, I don't know if I told you this, but we could have got a badge, a credential to go to Augusta this year. We've been around long enough that we could go to the Olympic Games if we wanted to. If we decided, you know what, let's go take the show to Augusta. Now, they're not going to let us out on the course to do this, but you know, I think as we've done our growth through the years, we could actually, you know, take the show to Augusta, which would be kind of fun. And we could take the Olympic Games. So I know that the top 10 this year at Augusta in the PGA, none of them have won a major. And so we're sitting here looking at this week's field saying, all right, and the weather's supposed to be lousy. I want to see guys that are at the top of their game, battle elements. I want rain. I want wind. I don't want lightning because then they'll suspend play. I want it to be where they're out there just having to slog through it because it'll be more fun to watch Tiger hit a bird or hit a tree and knock it out of the pine straw. And CBS will play their audio stuff very loud, so I'm going to hear chirping birds. You know, one time they had that as a soundtrack. They actually put in the sound effects of chirping birds. Pretty bush league. But it's in all seriousness, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I saw where Patrick Reed, who's not well-liked, had his champions dinner the other night. So here's the deal on the champions dinner. It's been going on since 1952. When you win the championship at Augusta, you get to pick a meal. And the following year, it's a bunch of guys that have also won green jackets, and they all gather around together. He had a bone and ribeye, he had mac and cheese, he had cream corn, he had cream spinach just because he won a golf tournament. And they all sat around and they drank scotch and had a great time, knocked themselves out. I've heard that Patrick Reed's not the most likable dude. There's not a guy that I look at, I don't know about you, but I don't know when you get to the week of Augusta, if there's a player that you root for. Like, Eric, you're not a big golf guy. You're not, as long as I've known you, I think we played golf once in Pine Top, like the first year that we started this company, and you were not good, and you
no,
were not,
not
having
good.
Fun.
No, I'm not good at golf, but I do like watching the majors. I'll tune in.
So are you
going to
be
weekend.
Laying around this weekend? Because we'll talk about it Monday.
Yeah,
I mean, part
I'll
of
watch.
It's work.
I'll watch.
But you don't.
A lot will depend on the leaderboard.
And you're a betting guy.
If the leaderboard is impressive, I might be more apt to watch more.
You bet, right?
No.
Not on golf?
No.
But you're a betting guy?
Not really.
Shut up. Get out of here.
I mean, I don't have an online.
We go to Vegas. Where did you
course,
end up in Vegas?
But that's
Vegas?
Different. I mean, who doesn't bet when they're in Vegas? I don't sit at home
Me.
At my house and like play online gambling games. So I don't think I'm a gambler. I just, you know, it's like that win in Rome thing. I mean, when you're in Vegas, of course, that's why. Why do you think Vegas is so successful? Because of schleps like me that
schleps
make
like
donations.
But you're not that crazy about betting on the Masters.
No, I wouldn't know enough.
Did you bet
about
on the AAF bet. Before it folded?
Nope.
Now that's a problem. If people bet on the AAF,
yes,
that would be a problem.
I mean, I bet on the league by gaining season tickets. Does that count?
Yeah. How much money do they owe you?
One game.
You gonna go chase it?
Know. It's in my friend's name, so I'm letting him deal with it.
I saw two lawsuits have already been filed.
I don't think we're going to be seeing any return on those season tickets, but we're probably not high on the priority list. Probably,
yeah, and I'm right there, too. So, the Diamondbacks, I want to get over to them before we take a break. So, look, guys, they're at 500. They're at 500 as we sit here a couple weeks in. This is the best thing possible. It's not like the Dodgers are running away with it. I think they will run away with it, but here's the thing. While everything in town is about Kyler Murray, while every last bit of media being consumed is, will it be Kyler Murray and will Josh Rosen be traded? The absolute best thing that has happened is the Diamondbacks have gotten off to a pretty good start. Outside of the Dodgers series where they're just miserable, they've gone out and they've played well enough. And last night, it was just one of those throwaway 5-2 losses to Texas and so on. I feel as though at 6-6, where they are right now, with the Padres coming in for four, I'm going to go tomorrow night. I want to take in a game as a fan and check things out. There's some interesting stories there. Merrill Kelly's been an interesting story. Good Arizona State pitcher has been interesting. Zach Greinke at the plate is interesting. Zach Greinke's haircut is interesting. There's a little bit of swagger about this team that I like. Are they the most talented? Absolutely not. Are they going to hang in there? I don't know. But while the next 2 weeks are draft focused, if the Diamondbacks can just get through this and get to May 1st and be hanging around, then I think that there's going to be something to them to be interesting. So they host the Padres tonight, and there's no Souza. Adam Jones has four home runs already this season. And they're interesting. I'll just leave it at that. All right, I'll step aside here a little early, but we'll step aside here, and we'll hang out until we have Goody at the movies. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time for Goody at the Movies, because he has more sports here. He wants to rip on One Shining Moment, which I will gladly join up and saddle up on that one. I'll sign up for that account. That's like 10 years overdone. But also, Rick Riley is in town this weekend promoting his new book about Donald Trump, and Bill talked with Rick, and Rick has been off the grid for a while. Is he like retired from everything and just writing books occasionally, Bill? Is that where he's at now?
Well, where he's at is Italy. He retired to Italy.
Yeah,
yeah. But he's writing novels and screenplays. Riley, I don't know if you remember, but you know, he had the back of the page, The Life of Riley, the first back of the book sports column in Sports Illustrated, and he was a huge deal. And this is when magazines were still a going concern, like the physical magazine, you know. And he signed his contracts were not like most people's. His contracts included, like, first look at movie scripts and just ungodly amounts of money. And he went to ESPN, the magazine, and then the I think the well kind of went dry on magazines for a little bit. So he had a ton of money, and he went to Italy, and he said he was not doing anything. He was just hanging out and having fun, but he got so angry when about Trump lying about playing golf, in particular his claim that he has that he's won 18 club championships. So Riley said, I had to do something. I had to write about it.
So this book's all about Trump. All of it?
All about Trump.
And golf.
The whole thing is about Trump and golf. But what it's got kind of a brief history of why golf is so important to presidents and how some of the other presidents played and that kind of thing. But he goes into great detail, not just about Trump, but about the business of it and about all the courses that he owns and his claims about the courses and the people that he stiffed who have done work for him on the courses and stuff. So it's about, I mean, it's like any good writer. I mean, it's about one thing, but it's really about something bigger. And he just kind of uses golf as the way to get into the way he believes Trump really behaves. But so, his thing is, if you do a thing one way, you do everything that way.
Mm-hmm.
So he believes that the golf is kind of a metaphor for bigger things that Trump does.
So I remember talking with Rick Riley a couple times, and towards the end, he was a little standoffish. And I don't know if I just caught him on bad days. How was he for you? Because you know how that
is. He was selling a book.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so he was great. He was great.
Yeah, he could not have been nicer. Yeah. But I'll say this. He was fired up. And he was on a train from, like, I don't know, New York to Washington or something. And he was, I mean, he was livid. He could not get off this Trump thing. And he seemed, who knows how mad he really was, but he seemed genuinely pretty upset about it. And that's been kind of his MO, I guess, in everything that he talks about. He was very good at staying on message. He eventually talked a little bit about writing and about what he's doing and that kind of thing. I think he's got the size of ego that goes with the size of salary that he once had. But that's how a lot of people, that's how they get good. That's how they get great. I mean, he certainly had the stuff to back it up, but but it's interesting, and it's a good book, and it's like all this stuff. I mean, it's pretty fast, pretty easy read. I mean, you know, you're not going to be burdened with, like 3 weeks of trying to slog through this thing. You can get through pretty fast. I liked it.
Goody at the Movies with us, AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film, and media critic Bill Goody Kuntz. And by the way, before we get to One Shiny Moment, the stuff on Mary Jo West was great. I worked with Mary Jo back in the day,
She's just a genuinely, I mean, unless you know something I don't, because I've never worked with her. I've spoken to her a few times, but she seems to me to be just a genuinely nice person.
Yeah.
And she's just very friendly and very, and she can tell a good story. But you know what? I'll tell you this. She is aware of, if for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, she was the first female news anchor in the Valley, and she faced a lot of crap, really, from a lot of people. And she's really, unlike Riley, she knows her place and her importance in that world, but she's very subtle about letting you know about it.
No.
That makes sense.
No, that's Mary Jo.
She knows that she did something important, but she's going to let you remind the people of that.
No, it was really well done. One shining moment. So why do you hate this so much? I just think it's played its course out. And to get all waxing poetic, for dudes in their 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, we've seen this thing forever. I tried to get through it the other night, and it was just, okay, it's a Zion Williamson highlight reel. Enough. I got it. You want to fit him in a few more times. It's a Duke love story. I don't need to love Duke anymore. That's my complaint. What's yours?
It's just so sappy that I remember the first time they did it, and at first I thought it was maybe like a parody or some kind of like commercial tie-in, you know, like at the end of it was going to say brought to you by McDonald's or something like that. You know, so why are they doing this? I mean, there's a million ways to do highlights. The highlights themselves are great, although they were a little. I do think that clearly, as you know, through television production, that it's an editing miracle feat. I mean, because they work stuff from the finals, from the final game into it, and that's really tough to do on the fly. But I'm sure they start a lot of it, you know, with the first round, and they have stuff they want to keep. And it's, you know, pretty clear they were going to get their money out of Zion, whether they made it to the Final Four or not. there was a lot of Zion in there. But you know what? There was some Wofford in there, so I was happy about that. I just think it's gooey. It's sappy. And I know. And by the way, a lot of people, as my guest, disagree with what I thought. And they love it for the same reasons that I don't like it.
Yeah.
They love that it's sappy. They think that, oh, it's what's good in sports and all that stuff. And they think, is it really what's good in sports? How much do you think Zion got, you know, how much did CBS make off the Zion cam? But how many, you know, he didn't make a dime off of them following him around that way.
No, he didn't make he didn't make a dime off of them in March, but he did make a dime or two off of them, right, in July 1. Zion's going to get paid huge money. So he used the platform of NCAA basketball that was given to him. I'm giving you the opposite side of the street on this one, Bill.
Oh, I know. I don't doubt that. And that's it. It's just that my point is that it seems just a little disingenuous to say that, like, here's all that's good in sports and all that stuff. And it's some of what's good in sports.
A little disingenuous. a little.
It's so sappy, and I learned some things about it. It was actually written to be played over, you know. It's about basketball, and here's something that I found actually kind of said. They've used several versions throughout the year since it started in 1987. But
the one that everybody associates with it, and the one that they've used most, and that they used Monday, was Luther Vandross, the late great Luther Vandross's version. Supposedly, it was the last song he recorded before he died, and I thought, that's just a bad way to go out. He deserved better. Maybe he killed him. Maybe that's it.
Wow.
Maybe he said, "I'm not going to even. If this is what it's come to. I'm not in it. I'm done." I don't know, but people enjoyed it, and it is. I mean, the big fun is, you know, trying to find your school in there. You know,
sure.
I remember an early pre One Shining Moment version of it when I was at James Madison University, and North Carolina, the year that Jordan beat them, when he was a freshman, I was also a freshman, and they beat James Madison in the second round, and it was really close. It was like 52-50 or something like that. They had James Madison had a really nice run there with Lou Campanelli, who later went to Cal.
Yep.
But James Worthy at the end of the finals. He gave us a thing. He said, "We beat a lot of great teams, man. Georgetown, James Madison." And I was in the dorm, like living room, and everybody cheered. He said, but they also showed highlights, and they showed a couple of, you know, things from the JMU UNC game, and everybody cheered. It's fun to look for your team. Yeah. I certainly look for Wofford. You know, I was.
And then your coach quit. And your coach quit at Wofford. He's gone.
He got promoted.
He quit. He quit. No, walked out.
He gave him. He's not one of these guys. You know what? If he can last 30 years at Tech and then move on, I think he'll have done it. Michael Young and I, his dad and my dad used to take us to Virginia basketball games. So that is the one job that I think that he would always have left.
All right, before you get out of here, truth serum in you, what are you more looking forward to in 2 weeks? Avengers, NFL draft.
The Avengers. I tell you that, this year it's actually a little bit different because the Cardinals are playing such a big role in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Phoenix, for good and for bad right now, particularly with the draft, with the first pick, but we're kind of right there in the heart of the sports world right now.
Yeah, it's not a great part of the sports world. We have a first round overall pick for the Cardinals. We're going to have another one for the pathetic Suns. So will you be? Here's the other one. I'll let you go off this one. What will you be writing more about in 2 weeks? The Avengers or Kyler Murray?
Probably Kyler Murray. Actually, you can only get one Avengers story, but you can get a lot of Kyler Murray stories. That one's going to play out for a while.
All right, I'll let you go off that. Thanks, as always.
But can I say just one thing?
Yeah, sure.
I hope, and it won't play out this way, but I hope we don't know what they are doing until Goodell calls the pick. I hope it's a surprise.
Well, you know it's on ABC, NFL Network, and ESPN. So I am of the theory, and Peter King actually shared this with me last week, that they've told the Cardinals in their own way, you're not going to say anything because you're not going to spoil primetime television with that big of an audience.
But there will be people who say that, well, we're sure this is going to happen and all that.
Yeah.
I hope it's a stunner, whatever it is. I don't care which way it goes. I got no dog in this fight, but I hope it's a surprise. I hope it's great TV.
All right. I'll let you go off that. See you. I got to get in touch with you, by the way. I'm trying, so.
And I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I'll try again. Okay. All right. See you. Get out of here. It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykins, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. I love Goody at the Movies. When Eric and I first started doing this 7 years ago, I think Goody at the Movies was a segment that you just didn't like. And now you sit there and I actually see you chuckle on occasion. You look forward to it. It's just if Bill's phone is working or not.
I smile through the pain, but, you know.
Come on, pain!
That's the way it goes.
He was pretty good today. One Shining Moment. Where are you at on that one?
Love it. Couldn't disagree with
that. Get out of here. You're sappy in that way?
Sure.
All right.
I love it. All right. I hope it never goes away.
Eric is on vacation again. We have a great vacation plan here at Sports 360 AZ. So you're going to get on a flight, and I'm very, very happy that you're taking so much time.
So much time. Yeah. I'm going to be gone.
48
I'm
hours.
I'm missing one day of work. Last week, I missed 2 days
PTO.
Of work.
Our PTO is, hey, I'm out of here. See you later. That's good, though. It's a great environment.
This is my seventh year. I should be up to, like, at least 3 weeks. Vacation.
Have I ever counted?
No, you don't do that.
I don't count. I don't care.
We don't count hours either.
As long as we show up. No, we don't. as long as you show up, as long as we do our thing. Devin Henry's our chairman of the board. Devin is like this Swiss Army knife. He just does everything. Thanks for being with us. This show repeats. Again, support those that you see in this show every day. We are self-funded. That means that we can do this with sponsors. We are now coming up on our eighth year, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, statewide, in all of New Mexico and into Las Vegas. Appreciate our guests there and the Football AZ show. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your day.